الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace and send His blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his companions, his wives and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. As to what follows, we continue in our discussion on the Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, the Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi alayhi rahmatullah, specifically the chapter titled Faslun fil Adab al-Batinati wal-Isharati ila Asrar al-Hajj, a chapter on the etiquettes, the internal etiquettes, and the some hint at the secrets of Hajj, the wisdom behind some of the acts and the rites of Hajj. He said, "Rahimahullah, اعلم أنه لا وصول إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى إلا بالتجرد والانفراد لخدمته." Know that there's no means and no way to get to Allah Azza wa Jal except by تجرد. How are you going to translate that one? Tajarrud is when you kind of leave everything off except that one thing which you're focusing on. Hello? You have many, many different things that are occupying your time and thinking and energy and money could be. When you abandon all of them and you focus on one thing, this is tajarrud for that one thing. So in this case, it's abandoning anything besides Allah Azza wa Jalla and focusing only on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَالْإِنْفِرَادِ لِخِدْمَتِهِ and also singling him out in servitude. وَقَدْ كَانَ الرُّهْبَانِ يَنْفَرِدُونَ فِي الْجِبَالِ طَلَبًا لِلْأُنْسِ بِاللَّهِ فَجُعِلَ الْحَجُّ رَهْبَانِيَّ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. He said, and the priests from the Christians, they used to go and stay in the mountains, seeking nearness to Allah. And we have today amongst the Muslims, without calling them out because we're in the masjid now, we don't want to get into trouble. We have Muslims who follow the same thing. A group of Muslims who want to live in the mountain and say, you know, the azl, you abandon all the people and you khalas. You go live on the mountain until you meet Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know that this is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he said that mixing with the people and bearing their harm is better for the person than to run away from human beings altogether. So Hajj was made a form of not to resemble the Christians, but the idea of being alone and focusing on one thing is understood in this fashion, that Hajj is a time when you kind of just don't worry about the people with you except when you're serving them or looking after them, but you focus only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what we do not do in Hajj. That's exactly what we do not do on Hajj. On Hajj we do the opposite of that. Nasallahu al-afiyya. He said, فَمِنَ الْأَدَابِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ أَنْ يَكُونَ خَالِيًا فِي حَجِّهِ مِنْ تِجَارَةٍ تُشْغِلُ قَلْبَهُ وَتُفَرِّقُ هَمَّهُ. He said, from the etiquettes which have been narrated, is that your Hajj should be free of any business or trade which may occupy your heart or kind of ruin your focus. Now, is he speaking about wajib and haram, or is he speaking about recommendation? Recommendation, because what does Allah say in the Quran? Who knows the ayah, which the scholars use as a dalil of the permissibility of doing business while doing Hajj? No one knows? Huh? La, Hajj. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. صح, Abdullah? صح. So they may witness manafi', benefits for them. The scholars use this ayah to understand that you may benefit. It is not restricted, it's manfa'a, anything which will benefit you. You do business by helping, sacrificing animals or whatever it may be. No problem. So the Shaykh here is not speaking about halal and haram, or wajib and makruh, or afwan, wajib and haram. He's speaking about, if you want to really focus, then avoid doing business which may keep your mind occupied. How much did I sell and how much money did I make and so on and so forth. Now, otherwise you may do business while doing Hajj. He said, لِيَجْتَمِعَ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So you may focus on obedience to Allah. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرْ رَثَّ الْهَيْئَ غَيْرَ مُسْتَكْثِرْ مِنَ الزِّينَ. And that you should, your hair should be disheveled. Your hair should be disheveled. And you should be dusty. And you should look, يعني poor, should look lousy, if we may use this term. رَثَّ الْهَيْئَ. غَيْرْ مُسْتَكْثِرْ مِنَ الزِّينَ. Not really adorning yourself. So Hajj is not the time to be clean and in this sense. Again, this is the Shaykh's own views. We're not saying that next time you go on Hajj, you're going to have to do this. This is only the Shaykh's observation, rahimahullah, according to what he saw fit during their time. Where you go back to the ulama, if you want to follow another opinion, go ahead. Don't blame me for anything you do in the future. We're only sharing what the Shaykh had to say. ماشي. وينبغي أن يتجنب ركوب المحمل إلا من عذر. Did we do this or no? No. أيوة. And he should avoid riding as much as possible, except when there's a need for it, except when there's an excuse. And then he quoted some other evidence which I would need to verify. Then he said, وفي حديث جابر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إن الله عز وجل يباهي بالحاج الملائكة فيقول انظروا إلى عبادي أتوني شعثا غبرا من كل فج عميق أشهدكم أني قد غفرت لهم. Allah عز وجل will boast about the pilgrims before the ملائكة, and he will say to them, look at my slaves, they have come to me in the state of being disheveled and dusty from every kind of deep, distant place. I make you bear witness that I have forgiven them. So because of this ash'ath, and where the Shaykh is preferring that we are in this particular condition, because that is the description that Allah gave to these people when he boasted before the malaika. وَقَدْ شَرَّفَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيْتَهُ وَعَظَّمَهُ وَنَصَبَهُ مَقْصَدًا لِعِبَادٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored his house, and he magnified it, and he made it a destination for his slaves to aim towards. وَجَعَلَ مَا حَوْلَهُ حَرَمًا لَهُ تَفْخِيمًا لِأَمْرِهِ. And he made the area around it حَرَمًا. How would we translate حَرَمًا in this context? What is the right English word for this word in this sentence? Nice one. Same one. He said restricted. Nothing new. I need something else. Sacred. Okay, that's a good one. Huh? How about the sanctuary? A sanctuary. Okay. So that area is made like that. وَتَعْظِيمًا لِشَأْنِهِ, as means of magnifying this place. So this whole area is like sacred. It's a sanctuary. It's a sacred area. So you have a particular conduct you have to observe while in this particular area. Like in this day and time, when you go to a person's villa, if I may say, then from the time you enter the gate, you have to act a certain way. You have to treat, the garden. You can be going to the front yard and jumping on the flowers and lying down on them. Say, this is a 3,000 riyal flower, man. So you have to behave in a particular way because you're in that area. So if this is the case with a villa, then don't ask about the haram. And this is, by the way, a benefit, inshallah, for those among the non-Muslims who say, if a Muslim wanted to go to the cathedral in Rome, to visit any church, we don't mind. We let any Muslim go to any Christian holy place. How come you Muslims don't allow anyone to the Kaaba? How come Muslims do not allow non-Muslims to the Kaaba? Let us go there, just take a look at it. What's the big deal? So what do you say? Who has a solid, powerful answer? Those who have attended all classes should know an answer. No one. How would you respond? You're giving da'wah to a non-Muslim, Christian. He says, how come I'm not allowed to go? Your deen is religious. Your religion is very restricted. We allow you to come. You don't allow us to go to your place. Why? The ignorance? Not a tourist destination, mashallah. And he will tell you, our spot is not a tourist destination either, but we still let you come. Restricted by the government, yes, yeah. Say the shahada. We don't want him to say the shahada if he doesn't believe in it. You haven't convinced me. If I'm, alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim, but if they were not Muslim, say, guys, get out. La. Listen, it's very simple. Very simple. You say, look, let's say that there was a ruler, a president of a country, or a king of a country. Hello? And amongst the citizens of this country, there was a group of people who were with him, pro-government, and there were people who were anti-government. They're against the government. They don't agree with him, and they don't like his rulership, and they don't accept his presidency, and they have all kinds of problems with him. Type. When he has a festival, a feast, to feed the people, does he allow the people who are on bad terms with him in? No. Do you even go? You are against him. What are you going to go do there? Go eat? You're maslahji, as they say. You're going after your interest. So we say, look, you have to be on good terms with the owner of the thing in order for you to be given access. Similarly, this area belongs to Allah, like the whole world. And you're on bad terms with him. You don't believe in him. You haven't accepted his religion. You're against his messenger. On what basis do you think you'll be given the privilege of visiting the holiest of places, the most sacred of places to this creator whom you are on bad terms with? You fix your relationship with him, tafaddal. Now we will bring you in, we'll hold you by your hand and take you in. You're not in this position. The same way if you were to be with the president, and they will shut up. There's nothing else to say afterwards. Now, so that's one of the things, inshallah, you can use it now. I hope you use it one day, inshallah. That's if you're giving da'wah. Of course, if you're not giving da'wah, then you will never use anything because you're not doing your job. But I'm assuming everybody here, inshallah, has some da'wah orientation and da'wah inclination. Al-muhim, wa'alam anna fi kulli wahidin min af'ali al-hajj tadhkiratan lil-mutadhakkir wa'ibratan lil-mu'tabir. And know that in every act of the act of Hajj, there's a reminder for one who wants to be reminded, and there's a lesson for one who's seeking to be taught. Hello? فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ among these, أَنْ يَتَذَكَّرَ بِتَحْصِيلِ الزَّادِ زَادَ الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ. When you begin putting together your provision for the journey, put your money in, you have your passport and whatever paperwork, and you're packing your bag, this is the time to be thinking about how you should have your provision for the life to come. Huh? And the provision for the life to come is not going to be your luggage or a passport or anything of that sort. It's going to be only good deeds. That's why he said, min al-a'mal. Only deeds. Those you cannot pack in a luggage. وليحذر أن تكون أعماله فاسدة من الرياء والسمعة فلا تصحبه ولا تنفعه. And let him be careful that his deeds are not corrupt because of showing off or because of reputation, seeking reputation. Because these deeds will neither accompany him nor will they benefit him. They will stay upstairs. When he goes to the grave, they will not be taken down with him. They won't accompany him inside and they won't be able to benefit him. Because initially they were not for Allah. كالطعام الرطب الذي يفسد أو في أول منازل السفر. Like similarly, like the kind of moist kind of food. Mind you, back then they didn't have a refrigerator, freezer, ice tank or whatever they call that, ice box for things. So, like particular kind of food which is naturally moist. Obviously, dates, like dry dates, will live longer. The kind of food, he said, which will go bad from the first segment of your travel. As soon as you begin your travel, the food which is not preserved will go bad. So similarly, the bad deeds are the ones who are associated or afflicted with riya and reputation. They will also go bad early on. They will not survive until the end. فَيَبْقَى صَاحِبَهُ وَقْتَ الْحَاجَ مُتَحَيِّرًا. So then the person who's in this condition at the time of need will be confused. Will be in a state of confusion. When he needs it the most, the food is bad. When he needs his deeds, the deeds were never good. فإذا فارق وطنه ودخل البادية وشهد تلك العقبات فليتذكر بذلك خروجه من الدنيا بالموت إلى ميقات القيامة وما بينهما من الأهوال. So when he abandons his residency, his homeland, and he enters into the desert area, and then he goes through the various, you know, obstacles which may be in his way, then let him remember his departure from the dunya into death. And then let him remember the resurrection on the day of resurrection, and what will be in between of all of these, of the, you know, scary events of great magnitude. Great magnitude. ومن ذلك أن يتذكر وقت إحرامه وتجرده من ثيابه. إذا لبس المحرم الإحرام لبس كفنه، وأنه سيلقى ربه على زي مخالف لزي أهل الدنيا. For, also from among that is when the person wears his ihram and takes off his clothes, then let him remember that when the muhrim puts on his clothes, it's similar to the dead person putting on his kafan. What is kafan? Shroud. And that he will be meeting his Lord with a dress code other than the one of the people of the dunya. Obviously, people don't walk around right now with two white towels. Right? They walk around with, you know, different clothing, thawb or qamis and sirwal or pants and shirt, whatever. But when a person dies, he doesn't get buried in these clothes. So he wears different clothing. And when you go for hajj, you wear different clothing. So there's a similarity between the two. Part of the reason why many of the ulama say, if you read Surah Al-Hajj, it begins with what? It begins with the description of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Sah? So the relation, they say, Surah Al-Hajj, you will think you read about Hajj, and then it begins with إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ لَشَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةً عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلًا. Until the end of the ayat, say, what is the relation? That is the relation. The connection and the cohesiveness between Hajj and Qiyamah. Many people gathered in one spot. You see? So many different similarities between the two. Subhanallah. وإذا لبى فليستحضر بتلبيته إجابة الله تعالى إذ قال وأذن في الناس بالحج. And when he recites the talbiya, then let him bring to mind and remember that he is actually responding to the call of Allah when he said to Ibrahim and call and invite people for Hajj. Make that call, make that invitation, make that announcement. وليرجو القبول, and let him hope for acceptance. وليخشى عدم الإجابة, and let him be fearful of not being responded to. وكذلك إذا وصل إلى الحرم ينبغي أن يرجو الأمن من العقوبة. Similarly, when he arrives at the haram, he should seek and hope that he will be given security against any punishment. وأن يخشى أن لا يكون من أهل القرب, غير أنه ينبغي أن يكون الرجاء غالبا. وأن يخشى أن لا يكون من أهل القرب. Do you have a kaf or qaf? Qaf? Allahu a'lam what is intended by that. على كل حال. Any idea, Abdullah? أهل القرب. طيب, وإن كان ويخشى لا يكون من أهل القرب, وأن يخشى أن لا يكون من أهل القرب. أي أحسنت ما شاء الله. And let him fear, ما شاء الله, this is benefit of the brothers. Let him fear that he will not be among those who are near, who are given nearness to Allah عز وجل from قريب. أحسنت. I need no glasses. Actually, these are no glasses. غير أنه ينبغي أن يكون الرجاء غالبا. However, his what should be always prevalent, what should be the stronger of the two, خوف الرجاء. Well, it's, I mean, we're supposed to go to Allah with these two wings, khawf and raja. But he's saying that it should be that raja is the heavier one. Yani have more hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. Assume good, because you have to assume good about Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. لأن الكرم عميم وحق الزائر مرعي وذمام المستجير لا يضيع. Because the generosity is encompassing of Allah Azza wa Jal. عميم يعني يعم. It encompasses everything and everyone. And the right of the visitor is looked after, is taken into consideration. Is a visitor coming to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the haram, it will not be treated as someone who is unimportant in this sense. And then the effort of the one who's seeking refuge with Allah will not be wasted. It will not be gone to waste. It will not be overlooked. نعم. ومن ذلك إذا رأى البيت الحرام استحضر عظمته في قلبه. And among that is if he sees the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Kaaba, then he should bring to mind the greatness of that in his heart. وشكر الله تعالى على تبليغه رتبة الوافدين إليه. And he should thank Allah Azza wa Jalla that he gave him the status of being among those who are the convoy who are coming to Allah Azza wa Jalla. وليستشعر عظمة الطواف به. And let him bring to mind the greatness of circumambulating the Kaaba. And of course, if any comment, of course, when you do tawaf, you find a lot of munkarat. Sadly, which is really strange, that in that very area, you will see a lot of munkarat. Not necessarily things which may be too much. Even though they've caught a few men, a'udhu billah, chasing after women, it's just from all the places in the world to go over there and do this is really strange. But Allah musta'an. If Allah doesn't give someone tawfiq, there's nothing you can do. You can go leave all the places in the world and fetch for a woman in the haram to be against her all the way for the tawaf. They've caught many people doing this, strangely. But I'm speaking about bid'ah. Mainly bid'ah. People that have not been educated properly about hajj or have been miseducated about hajj by their shuyukh and maulanas. So they come with all kinds of stuff. From the excessive kissing of everything. They kiss everything multiple times with no evidence. So you say, and then 15 times and another kiss and then they throw it. And you tell him, ya Amm al-Hajj Allah yarda alayk, it's one, khalas. Plus there's no kiss. There's no kiss to begin with unless you're at the Hajar al-Aswad. Or if you have an asa, as the ulama say, then and the asa is going to touch the Hajar al-Aswad, then you kiss the asa. This is according to one opinion at least. But if you're distant, all you have to do is Allahu Akbar. You just gesture with your hand towards the Hajar al-Aswad and you say Allahu Akbar. Khalas. There's no Allahu Akbar 3-4 times. There's no kissing. There's no both hands. And you don't do the same thing at the Ar-Rukn al-Yamani. No such thing either. As many people do this day and time. Unless you're there, then you may hold Ar-Rukn al-Yamani. So this is one. The other one, a common bid'ah or disturbance is when this mutawif will take the leadership of 20-30 people behind him and then he will be screaming out this dua which neither he understands nor do they understand. Following after him. And I remember once I was there and it was neither hajj nor nothing. It was a regular day and the person is wearing his regular clothing. He's not doing umrah. And he said, well, behind him 30 people, he said, Allahumma ja'alhu hajjan mabruran wa sa'yan mashkuran. I told him, ya amm al-hajj, what hajj mabrur, Allah yahdik, you're not doing any hajj right now. So he doesn't even know what he's saying. That's the point. How can you make dua for Allah to make a hajj mabrur and you're doing tawaf? And behind you people are doing umrah. It doesn't apply to either one of them. And the people behind him are repeating. So these people mostly don't know what they're saying, besides the bid'ah which they have in the actual ad'iyah, and they're loud. They're loud. They disturb all the people around them. When they walk by, you don't know what you're saying anymore. This is not allowed. To be raising your voice in the haram like this is not allowed. Or the third calamity is when people want to go out. They've decided they're done, so they go out at any cost. They make a line, a wall of people and penetration. Inshallah, they knock out women, they knock out kids, they hurt somebody, it doesn't matter. They just go mad, everybody's mad and they push and people start pushing each other. All this is not befitting in the haram. It's weird. It's weird to be happening there. Where, this is your Muslim brother. And personally, what I do, whenever I'm there, if I see people walking, stop. Say to people, stop. Let them go. Instead of you pushing them, you get upset. No, we're here first and you're crossing the line. Let the people go, ya akhi, and have a peace of mind. And once they go, we can move on. What's the big deal? So we have, but these etiquettes, which are minimum requirement for Muslims in treating each other, and hajj, subhanallah, or umrah, don't exist. Everybody's like, nafsi, nafsi, I don't care what happens to everybody else as long as I do my ibadah. That's not Islam. This is just mentioning some of the issues which may happen there so you can be mindful of them. And when you're there, do the amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'anil munkar. Don't be afraid. Remind the people, advise them. You know, you see someone in the sa'i still having his right shoulder exposed. Tell him, akhi, this is back in tawaf. Now you cover your shoulders regularly. You see someone praying with the shoulder exposed. Tell them they're supposed to cover both of their shoulders in the salah. They're done with the tawaf. There's no need for that anymore. So all these things are usually absent, and it's our job to remind the people of them. ويعتقد عند استلام الحجر أنه مبايع لله على طاعته. And when you hold the black stone, bring to mind that it's almost like it's a covenant with Allah that you will obey Him. ويضم إلى ذلك عزيمته على الوفاء بالبيعة. And then add to that your conviction and determination to be firm in this covenant which you're taking with Allah. ولتذكر, and here we have an issue. I researched this particular matter about ta'alluq bi astari al-ka'ba, holding on to the fabric or whatever you want to call the cloth of the Kaaba. And really, يعني, the scholars have many opinions. The one which I personally lean towards and I'm comfortable with is that it's a bid'ah. Okay, except the multazam, which is the area between the door and the al-hajar al-aswad, because we have evidence to this effect that someone may put his chest and his face sideways and his hands like this at that particular area, because we have evidence to that effect. As for seeking barakah from the Kaaba, or people wiping it, then wiping their face and their children, and then holding on to the Kaaba, and all these additional things, ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah has not sent down any authority concerning that. So, يعني, the Shaykh mentioned it here, but we have some reservation, just letting you know what's going on. Na'am. And then he narrated some poetry which is relevant to that idea, but we're against this idea. Therefore, you know, the Shaykh rahimahullah is entitled to his opinion, and he's a scholar. He's entitled to be doing this kind of ijtihad, or to favor opinion of the other. And if he did it for the sake of Allah, فَذَنْبُهُ مَغْفُورُ وَأَجْرُهُ يعني مضمون على الله عز وجل. No matter what, Allah will guarantee his ajr, and his error will be forgiven, provided that he is mujtahid and he did his ijtihad. That doesn't concern us. His affair is with Allah Azza wa Jal. But if what we heard from our, you know, scholars in this day and time, that there's no such thing. So we stick to that. We stick to that. If someone is a student of knowledge and has a better observation, no, ما في مشكلة. He's entitled to that as well. نعم. ومن ذلك إذا ساعة بين الصفا والمروة ينبغي أن يمثلها بكفتي الميزان وتردده بينهما في عرصات القيامة أو تردد العبد إلى باب دار الملك إظهارا لخلوص خدمته ورجاء الملاحظة بعين رحمته وطمعا في قضاء حاجته. Similarly, if a person does sa'i between Safa and Marwa, let him make them as if they're the two sides of the scale. The two sides of the scale. So it's like going between them. The same way the person will be going between the different locations and segments of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Or like the slave who's often going back and forth to the door of the king. Every now and then he comes and asks for things. So it's like you're going back and forth between the two. See, and as means of displaying the sincerity in servitude, and hoping that he will receive some attention, so he will be shown mercy to. Or in hope that this king, which is Allah Azza wa Jal in this case, will fulfill his need. That Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill his need. وأما الوقوف بعرفة فاذكر بما ترى فيه من ازدحام الخلق وارتفاع أصواتهم واختلاف لغاتهم موقف القيامة واجتماع الأمم في ذلك الموطن واستشفاعهم. And as for the standing on the day of Arafah, then bring to mind the crowdedness of the creation and the loud voice, the loudness of their voices. And the variation in their languages on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Obviously there will be all the people from the time of Adam alayhi salam until the end of time. All of the people will be together in the same location on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Different languages, people screaming, as you all know from the other ahadith which explain that. And then all of these nations being there in one location, and all of them seeking the shafa'ah. Istishfa'ahum, يعني, they're seeking the shafa'ah. From who? From who will they seek the shafa'ah? La, this is at the end. They begin with Adam alayhi salam. They will begin with Adam, and they will say, you are the first creation of Allah, and Allah created you with His own hands, and so on and so forth. So you're the father of the creation in this sense. So please, you know, ask Allah to intercede for us, and He will say, Allah has become angry like He's never been angry before. Go to Nuh. So they will go to Nuh, Nuh will send them to Ibrahim, Ibrahim to Musa, Musa to Isa, and then Isa to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he will do the shafa'ah. So that will be at the end, alayhi salatu wasalam. فَإِذَا رَمَيْتَ الْجِمَارِ فَاقْصُدْ بِذَلِكَ الْإِنْقِيَادِ لِلْأَمْرِ وَالْإِذْهَارِ الرِّقِّ وَالْعُبُودِيَةِ وَمُجَرَّدِ الْإِمْتِثَالِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حَظِّ النَّفْسِ. And once you stone the jamarat, then bring to mind the concept, just intend to obey the command. You were commanded to do it, you just do it. And the display of extreme slavery and servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that you are simply an obedient person without any portion that is of benefit to you. In some way say, what do I get from this? Just, it's none of your business at this point. Your job is to do what the Prophet ﷺ did and commanded us to do. So you stone the jamarat even if you don't understand the wisdom behind it. Even if you don't understand the wisdom behind it. Your job is to carry out the command. وَأَمَّا الْمَدِينَةِ فإذا لاحت لك فتذكر أنها البلدة التي اختارها الله لنبيه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشرع إليها هجرته أو هجرته عفوا وجعل فيها بيته ثم مثل في نفسك مواضع أقدام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عند تردده فيها. As for the Medina, so if you wind up going there, if it comes your way or you go that way, so remember that this is a village or a town which Allah Azza wa Jal had chosen for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah made it the place or the destination of his migration, and Allah Azza wa Jal made one of his masajid, one of the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, al-Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina. And then bring to mind or pretend that you are walking in the same places where the Prophet ﷺ walked. You're following the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ when he walked in Medina. وَتَصَوَّرْ خُشُوعَهُ وَسَكِنَتَهُ. SubhanAllah. This is a lesson. This sentence is a lesson in and of itself where we need really to fix ourselves. And bring to mind the khushu' and the tranquility of the Prophet ﷺ. And look at our condition today and what is worse than us, the shabab or the kebab of today. Huh? And their cars and the loud music and all this stuff. And what? And this is in this sanctuary. We're still, whether they are Medina or Mecca, you are in a very, very special place that Muslims, dream about all their lives. And so it's being underestimated by particular people. They don't really give it the its due right, and they mistreat it. And you hear in Mecca robbery, you hear in Mecca rape, you hear some things which, a'udhu billah, you don't expect to hear in Mecca. But they happen. They happen. And the same thing, Medina, alhamdulillah, is mashallah. And it's usually in a better condition in this regard. فَإِذَا قَصَدْتَ زِيَارَةَ الْقَبْرِ. And here I will have to skip. Huh? Again, the Shaykh Rahimullah has some comments which I've also researched, and I don't really find them to be in agreement totally with the opinion of the scholars, and therefore I will just skip them for this particular reason. So inshallah, this concludes actually the chapter on the secrets of Hajj and the etiquettes of Hajj. And you guys came at the end of the class, mashallah, tabarakallah. Inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy, the next chapter is the chapter of the adab of the Quran, the etiquettes on the Quran, the noble Quran, and the mentioning some of the virtues of the Quran, and obviously those who engage in it and those who recite it, and the virtues of tilawa and the virtues of enhancing one's voice in the delivery, and so on and so forth. And perhaps we can comment on some of the prevalent issues which we see in this day and time before we move to the chapter of the adhkar and the dua and so on and so forth. So that is it for tonight. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. بارك الله فيك.